Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with brain trauma survivor, public speaker, and executive Danielle Matthews. At the age of 23, Danielle was hit by a drunk driver and sustained a life-altering injury to her brain. The medical world said there was no hope of recovery and told her to accept this life as her new normal. Although her body was physically impaired, her spirit was strong, and she refused to believe their diagnosis. Her mind was determined to recover, and she did. We get into her career, revelations, recovery, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
Thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Before we get into your life and your work, I want to know, how did you survive COVID? How did you get through this time period, and how did it subsequently change you?
Oh, well, COVID was like a breeze for me because I had had my brain injury, years prior, and my brain injury basically, like, caused me to have the same issues. I couldn't go out. I couldn't do anything that I used to do, except I was also dealing with a lot of physical issues on top of it. And so it was kind of interesting. I remember calling my sister when COVID set in, and I started laughing, and I said, it's like everybody's now having to go through what I went through. Something outside of their control happening onto their life and, you know, limiting what they are and aren't able to do. And I said, well, at least everybody's not dealing with a brain injury on top of it. We kind of laughed. And I look at everything and I just say, what's this challenge making possible? So COVID actually, and the pandemic for me, my business accelerated incredibly because it forced me, rather than doing everything in person, forced me to go online. And so my business went international. It's been growing rapidly. I've accomplished, like, in the last, gosh, even just this year, what I've done in 7 years, I did in 7 months, like, through the internet. So it was actually really good for me. And I was in a position, I think, to help a lot of other people with their mindsets and getting through it. And I led a team of people, you know, through that. So that's what it was like for me.
Let's kind of boil down exactly what you do for a living and make it simplify it a little bit. I'm going to put you in front of a bunch of third graders at a career day, and one of the kids is going to look up at you and say, what do you do for a living? How would you answer them?
I educate people about how they can make their life better through their health and also with their mindset.
With this in mind, you know, you're obviously in a position of giving a lot of yourself to what you do. Talk to me a little bit about growing up. How did some of these seeds begin in you to become who you are? And more than that, talk to me a little bit about what you wanted to be when you grew up when you were a kid.
That's a fun question. So for me, I've been an athlete my whole life. So I competed in swimming, like, starting at the age of 8. And then, you know, went on to add other sports in. I played softball, lacrosse, track and field. I got into snowboarding competitively in college. And so being an athlete, I think you learn how to handle challenges, you learn how to overcome, you learn how to master your mind, you learn how to focus. I mean, all these things that have served me really well. But when I was young, I wanted to be a doctor. I've always been, like, fascinated by the body. And when I went to school, I got my degree in biology with the intent to go on to medical school. But as I started to kind of come to the end of my time at University of Virginia, I just thought, you know what, I don't want to go into more schooling. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this degree or how I'm going to help people, but I'm going to take a break and try and figure it out. And I took a break and I did Teach for America, which is not really quite a break, but that's a pretty rigorous program to get into. I got into it, was placed in Denver, Colorado, and I was teaching for 2 years to sixth graders. And loved it, absolutely loved what I was doing. But my brain injury happened, my car accident happened like 2 weeks after my second year of teaching, and life just kind of took a big turn. But I think it's fascinating because everything really prepared me for what I'm doing now. The interest in how the body works, the degree and understanding of, you know, biology and our system, learning how to teach and connect with people, because when you can put things, as you said, third grade level, like I put things at a sixth grade level, which it's what you got to do to connect with people. And it's kind of crazy having gone through my own health journey and realizing the power within us, you know, within myself. And then obviously I'm no different than anybody else. We all have it within us, and learning to master my own mind and then, you know, attracting in the right answer to my physical challenges. And now being in a position to educate a whole lot of other people about them. It's like crazy looking back and connecting the dots. How life has uniquely prepared me to do what I'm doing now.
you know, to go through something that you went through with, you know, at 23 with the drunk driver and everything that would surround that, there's a level of that that could set people up to feel, you know, anger and shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Thing, you know, there's a whole gamut of feelings that could go into that. But what was it about your life that prepared you to find some level of, like, using it as a strength to move into different avenues and to heal and do the things that were healthy?
It's a really good question. And, I mean, to be honest, like, when it first happened, I didn't handle it that well. I mean, I was angry and I was frustrated and I was saying, like, why me and this isn't fair. But I was dealing with such physical problems that I sort of put the emotional stuff to the side because it was just too much to handle. And I think that being an athlete, knowing how to, like, push through and just kind of continue and even through challenges, I know that helped me. But honestly, what sort of flipped the switch was when my neurologist told me it was my new normal. Like, after a year, he looked at me and he was like, yeah, your body's done the healing it's going to do. And he said, you need to just adjust your life around this. And this is your new normal, Danielle. And I was like, you're fired. I was like, how can you look at a 24-year-old and say that? And something inside of me just said, you're going to figure this out. But I was having panic attacks. I had severe anxiety. I was depressed. I mean, I didn't want to be on this earth. If you can imagine, like, dealing with, like, not being able to handle any sort of input. Like, I couldn't handle light, noise. Like, it's very limited what you could do. I was in a dark room. And I said to myself, you know what, like, I want to live. Like, that's not an option. I'm not leaving. And I said, so I got to master this emotional stuff. And I just, there's this little equation that kind of popped into my head, which is like, okay, you've got the external world plus your internal response to it, and that's going to make your reality. And I'm like, I've been frustrated, angry, you know, all, that's been my internal response to this. This isn't fair. I'm a victim, you know, all that. And I just said, it's not serving me. Like, my reality is not good with that mindset. And so I literally just threw my own inner, like, strength, I would say, I just rewired how I would think. And I started doing a gratitude journal. I started forcing myself to look at something I could be happy about, grateful for. And I started to meditate. And meditation I originally was doing to help with my migraines and to help me sleep. And I didn't realize that in doing it, it was also helping, like, me to create this peace within me. And quite frankly, what I realized was, look, I'm more than my thoughts. There's something that is me, the true me, that's there before, during, and after every thought. And I just started to access that part of me before, like, again. I don't think I really had in my life prior. I was so, like, in my head and in my mind, that, you know, I was identified with, oh, Danielle's the snowboarder, and she's the teacher, and she's this and that. And when all that went away, I was like, who am I? And I realized, like, oh, to me, it's like I got in touch with my soul, my essence. And that gave me strength like I can't even describe, and an understanding and perspective of, like, oh, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens in life.
You know, the one thing I've heard some, you know, podcast stories where people confront things that happened in their past. And I'm wondering, you know, sometimes people cross such a big bridge in their lives where they get to a point where they think, like, there was one in particular where something along the lines of what happened to you, the person that was the perpetrator, so to speak, they met uh-huh. them. So the person that caused this accident, you would meet them. This person in the story forgave them. They wanted to meet with them to forgive them. And the host of the show couldn't figure out why they would go to that point, why they would do that. And this guy simply explained that his entire trajectory of life changed in such a dramatic fashion that he felt thankful that it happened. And it was really bad
yeah.
what happened. So I'm thinking in your, where you're at right now, do you ever think that there's a part of you that most people probably couldn't understand that you're, I don't even know if thankful is the word, but that you're almost
grateful.
Like
grateful
that,
the word.
That moment happened
yep.
in your life to get you where you're at now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I completely understand that person, and I'm in the same position. The guy that hit me, his name is Maurice Flowers. I've never met him, never spoken to him. Like, he got off. I found out later through, like, there were, like, these people that had been on the street when the accident happened, and they had gotten my email address and, like, had emailed and followed up with me, and they told me that this guy, he had been arrested that day but had gotten off because the arresting officer didn't show up the day of his trial, And so he got off with just like driving without a license or something. When he was like intoxicated, driving a car that wasn't his, no insurance. I mean, it was a mess. And I like, you know, like looking at my situation, it's like, oh, wouldn't I have been angry? But at the time I wasn't even angry. I just thought, I don't have the capacity to handle that right now. Like I was still so focused on me. But as I've kind of gone through the years, it's been a decade now, and I look back at it, and I have such gratitude for him. Like, and I wonder where he is in life. I have no idea. Certainly good things weren't happening in his world for him to be doing what he was doing. It was in the morning. I mean, it was 7 a.m. He was drunk, like, probably not living a good life. And I just know that had he not done that, though, like, I don't know what my life would look like. And there's thousands of people that have helped, and I'm like, well, where would they be, you know? It's just, it's wild. The challenges, I think what I believe now is that every challenge we draw in, I believe our higher self, the divine source, God, the universe, like whatever somebody's beliefs are, I truly believe it's divinely guided so that we can learn what is within us to become more and then take that and teach others. And it prepares you for the next phase of your life. And I think, you know, that's how I look at it. There's a concept that like nobody really talks about called post-traumatic growth. And it's like, you know, everyone talks about post-traumatic stress and, you know, having to deal with the trauma and what comes after that. Not many people talk about, like in my case, in this person's case that you're sharing with me, like the growth that happens because of a trauma and how liberating it is and freeing it is. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, when I look back at it now, I wouldn't like, I had somebody ask me one time, well, Danielle, if you could go back to you that morning, would you get in the car? And I'm like, well, that's a hard question because it's not like I enjoyed going through what I went through. I'm grateful to be through it. If I could pick, you know, that's like a tricky question because it was hell for several years. But, yeah, I think it's also, like I said with COVID, your first question, it's just like, it's made me sort of bulletproof for whatever else shows up in life.
You know, when COVID happened, I have a special needs son, and I've had to really pivot my life. Like, when things come up, you have to adapt, and you have to change. And it's all been in a good way. And I think I feel like the way you're talking about things happening, I think sometimes people on the outside look in and think the things that you have to do are a lot different from everybody else, but I don't view it that way. I view the fact that it's almost kind of like Stranger Things. You get to see the upside down world in a way that other people don't. You get to perceive reality in a whole new perspective. And I think that a part of COVID was that it was this unexpected thing, but like for you were prepared for it. And I felt like for me too, that I wasn't necessarily 100% prepared, but I had been living, you know, this kind of shuffle thing, kind of like a kangaroo, and they don't have to turn their body, they just pivot and move, they just like bounce to the side. I always think about that metaphor.
That's a good visual.
You know, but I also think too, what's interesting is that probably in your mind, and I think this is the fascinating part of life, is that we have to understand that we have to surrender the whole idea that we are totally not in control of anything. And I think probably you understand that intimately in a way that a lot of people don't.
Oh, 100%. That was actually one of the biggest lessons I had to learn, was to release control. And I remember I saw a psychotherapist for a couple of years, and he was like, Danielle, you got to realize like you're not in the driver's seat. And I'm like, what? You know? And he said, it's like you are treading water, and life there is a rip current, and you are being guided in a certain direction, and you are fighting, trying to keep control, treading water. He said, you're going to drown. You need to just release and go with the flow right now. And I was like, man, that was a powerful lesson. Super hard to learn, but a really powerful lesson. Yeah. And I mean, it's like we have the control of our own actions, you know, and our own mindset, and we can have clarity on the direction we want to go. But yeah, sometimes life unfolds in a way. And now I look at it and I say, all right, well, that door is closing because another one was supposed to open. Okay. Like I need to just not have preference.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this. What is it that motivates you every day? You know, we all wake up. We have things that we want to do, ways that we want to live our lives. But what is it about, what's the motivator for you? And how do you, when you get to the end of the day, quantify it as a successful, good day?
Being present. You know, honestly, my car accident, this is what it taught me. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Like, I was doing nothing wrong. And my life could have ended. And I just, I have this awareness that doesn't make me sad or scared or anything. It just makes me hyper aware of being present, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and what happened in the past is no longer relevant. And so it makes, like, I've had a good day when I've been present the whole day, when I've served the person that's been in front of me that day, you know, when I've just been able to really hold the presence and be my true self. Everything unfolds the way it's supposed to. So that's, you know, I think that answers your question, but that's really how I look at it.
You know, the one thing that's very important about our development as humans is the art that we get to get immersed in. And I'm curious, what was the book or the album or the visual art or anything along those lines that always inspired you that you still come back to these days?
You know what? There was a documentary called The Crash Reel that I saw Kevin Pierce. He was a snowboarder, like as good as Shaun White. He was getting ready for the Olympics, and they were recording it for part of the documentary because he was, you know, favored to beat Shaun White. And he had a crash and sustained a brain injury, and they kept filming. And the documentary was basically showing his life post-traumatic brain injury. And, you know, he created this foundation. He was bringing awareness to brain injury, but, I mean, he was told, you know, you can never snowboard again. He lost a lot. And I saw him happy. And I was like, God, this man was on top of the world, traveling the world, doing what he loved. Like, you know, what a dream. And I had been a big snowboarder. And so seeing that, it literally stirred something inside of me that just gave me hope of like, okay, you know, he came out of that and made good of it. I can come out of this and make good of it. And yeah, that documentary changed everything.
Do you feel like, you know, now that we're kind of coming out of COVID and the world's kind of opening up in a different way, do you feel like you've accelerated anything, that you have more things that you want to get done with your life now? Or are you kind of at a pace where, you know, you were prior to COVID? Or how is all that working for you?
It's interesting. I made a choice to move somewhere that I never would have thought I would move. So I live in the middle of the Ocala National Forest. It's like 30 minutes to a grocery store. I live out in nature, and COVID actually allowed me to be able to create that lifestyle, because I was forced to do everything online. I realized how much I could do online, and that I actually didn't need to live in a city where I was meeting people daily. I could do everything I wanted from the internet. And so I, like, any chance I get, I would go out into nature. Like, I used to live in Colorado. Like, I had free time. I was up in the mountains, you know, or I was by some stream, or I was doing something outside. And now it's like, oh, I just get to be in nature. And if I want to go do something, I just, you know, I drive into the city. And it's amazing. It's a life that I like, I don't know, pre-COVID, I never would have imagined for myself. But now I can't think of it any other way.
So of all of the work that you do, you know, how do you balance giving what you need to give? Because you have to give a lot. How do you balance that pie chart of giving what needs to be given to a client and then taking care of yourself, making sure that you're taking care of yourself and you don't fall behind what you're giving business-wise?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I didn't have that right for a long time. I was, like, giving more than I was, like, taking care of myself. I think because I was overcompensating for, like, the years where I couldn't work. I was so excited to be able to work again. So I was just like, yes, I'm here. I'll do that. I'll do this. You know, because I was just thrilled that I could. But now, you know, I'm like striking that balance, right? I think we always swing in the opposite direction and then we find the balance in the middle. So for me, it's starting my day with my dog and starting it out in nature. So I meditate when I wake up, and then I go out in nature with my dog. We're either hiking, biking, you know, sitting outside, something. And that resets me. And then at the end of the day, there's these springs that are here by the house, like this natural spring that comes up from the aquifer under Florida. And I jump in that every single day. And it's just like literally, it's 72 degrees year round. So it's kind of chilly, but you jump in, it just like resets you. And that, like, that's how I take care of me. And I make sure I eat really well throughout the day.
So, you know. Oh, yeah. So where exactly are you located?
Salt Springs is the town, which is like, so it's an hour and a half north of Orlando. It's
okay.
East of a place called Ocala, south of Gainesville by about an hour, south of Jacksonville by about an hour, right in the center of the state.
Okay. Yeah, I have an above ground pool, and every season, because here in the Midwest, your season's just not that long. I mean, it's typically from Memorial to Labor Day, which is just disheartening. So I always,
yes.
keep, you know, I would keep it open for as long as I could. And I remember in the fall when it was still Indian summer, it would be still a little bit cold. But every time, and I would come home for lunch, I would get in the pool and go back to work, I always felt like there, it was indescribable the way I felt. It was like there was it was unreal. It was great. So
a nice reset for your system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's no problem with your body getting jolted a little bit by a temperature shift. So,
yeah.
you know, everyone out there has a perception of you, an idea of who they think you are. Your family, your friends, your clients, but ultimately you live your life. You're in control of who you are. Who do you think you are?
What an interesting question. I think that I'm just someone that's trying to better myself every single day and serving the people that come into my world in whatever way I can. That's how I look at me.
So, Danielle, if anybody wants to know more about you, your services, anything revolving your world, where can they go? Where's the best place?
Yeah, I'd say find me on Instagram. It's just my name. It's Danielle Matthews with an underscore in the front and the back. Turns out there's other Danielle Matthews, so I had to have the underscore in there. But I've got a link tree there. People can, I just wrote an ebook called Mind Control. It's all in your head that, I mean, it's free to download. I just thought it would be really powerful for people to kind of get the nuggets out of what I learned to master my own mind, to get over, you know, the obstacles that were in front of me. I've also got on there, you know, connections to Yoga Nidra's guided meditations that I do. And I think it's something where I share mindsets and so much more, as well as information about the technology to help my body to heal. And, you know, what I've helped thousands of others now with their health, regardless of the challenge. That's where I would guide people.
So your last name has become a name that Kansas Cityans know very well. And when it pops up, we all know it. That's Patrick Mahomes' wife's maiden name. Brittany Matthews, yeah, has been like probably on everybody's social media feed for a long time. So it's a very common last name here in Kansas City.
Nice. All right. Well, now we got a Danielle Matthews.
There you go.
Make it just as common.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and they do quite a bit. She actually has a professional women's professional soccer team. She's building a nice stadium by a river here. And there's a lot that they do. So it's really good. They're good people. Yeah. So,
very nice.
But hey, this has been wonderful. Thank you for opening up. Thank you for giving me your story. Good luck with everything. Happy holidays and a great 23. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Back at you.
Thanks for tuning in to another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, and music from around the globe. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.